Thank you, Tim, and a very warm welcome once again. I just want to take a few moments now to reflect on what we've been singing, these amazing words and the stories, the readings that we've been hearing straight out of Luke's gospel. But first, I thought it would be good just to pause and pray briefly as we come to this time together. Let's just pause and pray. Dear God, we come now and ask that you would help us understand something more about you and about ourselves as we reflect on the Christmas story. Amen. Well, I want briefly tonight to focus on just a couple of lines within all the readings that we've had. They're words that Mary spoke. She, in fact, probably sung them. And they were in our second reading. They're up here on the screen. And she said this. She said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That was like one of the earliest ever kind of Christmas songs or carols. In fact, it was probably one of the earliest ever songs sung by the early church. So this is the beginning of it, the beginning of her song. Should we say it all together? "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You can see it's a song that kind of sprung up from the depths of her very being, from her soul. It was like a heart song that she sang out to God. And I wonder tonight, what makes your soul sing? What makes your soul sing? What makes your spirit rejoice like Mary's did? My brother-in-law, he noticed when he joined the family just a year or so ago that all my sisters in-law and my wife, who are all part of the same family, he noticed that when they're sitting down to a big meal like a Christmas dinner or something like that, that when they sit down to it, they kind of go, looks great. I don't know. And in fact, he noticed that not just one of them did it, but on different occasions, they all did it. And even my children now do it as well, apparently. And I don't know, if you do something like that, you get a lovely bit of food, chocolate, and you get it given to you maybe at Christmas time, children, and you go, Do you ever do that? Start kind of singing. Or maybe it's when you get given a great big present. You never guess what. I came to church the other day and someone gave me this. And I went, wow, yes. Does your you start singing when you get the presents and you start putting them under the tree? Well, I got to wait to open this one at Christmas. But what is it that gets you singing? You know, the thing about presents and about chocolate is they may get you singing. They may get you even going, But it isn't really that deep a song, is it? Let's be honest. It doesn't last very long. You've soon finished your food, or you've opened the presents, or you've got the gadget to work and then you've broken it, or there's a new latest one coming out. But those kind of songs, even if you do start singing them, they don't really last. Whereas the song we're looking at of Mary's, that's a song that you sense lasted. It was a song that came out of something more than just the physical surroundings or the things she'd seen or tasted or that were there in front of her. Well, what about a song that springs out of seeing something in the one you love? You know, they maybe you see the little child take their first steps, or that football team that you've been supporting all year and maybe all your life, suddenly they win the cup and you're singing and you're rejoicing. And or maybe it's your granddaughter and they pass their exams and you're so thrilled for them, and you're singing with them. And that's closer to the kind of singing that Mary's doing. But it's even more than that. It's not just a physical response to something she sees or something she has. It's not just an emotional response to something that's going on around her or around those she loves. No, this is a spiritual song. It's a song coming out of her soul. The spiritual part of us, our soul, is that bit that is made to connect with God. That part we all have, that part that lasts for eternity. And for Mary, she's discovered something, something about God and about how God sees her that causes her very being to sing, to rejoice. And as we look in Mary's story, in the reading that we had, that second reading, we get a sense of what it is that caused Mary to sing. And like her song is, in a nutshell, her story. And it speaks of how God lifts the humble, of how he satisfies the empty, of how he gives significance to the insignificance. In fact, many around the world have recently tried to sum up their stories in very simple sort of phrases. This was what I once was like, or I once thought, and then God did something. Then God turned me round. They've been called cardboard testimonies, stories of what God has done in people's lives. And if you like, if Mary's story was, Mary's song was a cardboard testimony, it might say something like this. It might say, I was pushed down by others, but God lifted me up. Pushed down by others, but God lifted me up. Now remember, Mary was probably a young woman, not that older, and caught up in these big events of her time. And I thought it would be good now in our setting to just hear, well, not hear, see some of the stories, some cardboard testimonies of those who are in our church, particularly some of our younger folks. And so this is something we've done a few times before, but I thought it would be worth doing again tonight. As we think about Mary's story, we'd see even that others have a story, have a song that God has touched their lives. So we're going to have some music now, just take a few moments and hear on a simple piece of cardboard the before and then the after of what God has done. So, here's a bit of music. Do you have a story? Do you have a story of how your soul has realized something about God? Something about him and something about how he sees you. Do you have a song, a soul song? I don't know if you know something about Mary in the Bible, the one who we've been hearing about in the stories, the one who was the mother of Jesus. If you know anything about her situation, whether it surprises you that she can sing like she does and she can sing those words, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Because if you know something about Mary's situation back then on that first Christmas, you know that she wasn't singing because the circumstances were good. She had become pregnant outside of marriage. That was very dangerous, scary thing for a young woman in those days. She was just about to have to travel pregnant all the way to Bethlehem, about a 5-day journey. Probably if you're pregnant, it would take longer than that. And if you asked anyone who's just about to have a baby, because she was probably at the end of her pregnancy at that point, if you ask anyone whether they'd like to do a 5-day journey by foot or on a donkey or something like that, they will say, probably not, thank you very much. And then we discover that when she gets there, she can't find anywhere to stay. She ends up in a stable, giving birth amongst animals. And then we discover in the Christmas story that when the baby's born, she and Joseph and the baby have to flee for their lives because Herod's soldiers are after them. So it is a bit surprising, isn't it, that Mary's able to sing as she does. Is she premature in singing? Is it actually, she's just kind of missed the plot somewhere. She doesn't realize that, you know, all these challenges are going to lie ahead. Well, no. Mary is singing in Luke chapter 1 because she's discovered something about God and about how God sees her that is not dependent on her circumstances. It's not dependent on how school is going or work is going or whether it's snowing or raining or sunny or anything like that. She's discovered something about God, and it's this. It's there in the story. She's discovered that God is not aloof. He's not kind of distant and unconcerned with you and I and with Mary. No, God is very much concerned. In fact, he's so concerned that he has come as our Savior. And Mary is able to say, my soul glorifies in the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In fact, in Luke's gospel, in all the stories we read, this theme of Savior is a big theme. It comes back time and time again. Do you remember the angel who came to Mary? She gave to Mary the name of the child. In fact, we got it up here on the screen from our first reading. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him what? Jesus. Do you know what the name Jesus means? It means God is the salvation, or the Lord saves. That's what the word Jesus means. And if you go on in another reading, later on in that first reading, it says this: the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This Jesus, the angel says, is God come to earth, the Son of God come to save us. Mary's song, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And then, in case she's missed it, once the baby has been born, the shepherds come and they come with news of what the angels have said to them. And we have in Luke chapter 2, in our last reading, what the angel said. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Do you have a song? A soul song? Well, it might be connected with this next question. Do you have a Savior? Do you, like Mary, know just not that there is a Savior, but that he is your Savior? And maybe a question I need to ask before that is, do you need a Savior? Do you need a Savior? Many don't think they need a Savior. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because probably none of us would say that we think we're better than the Blessed Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus. We'd probably say, you know, yeah, well, she's kind of does quite well. And we're probably not quite as well, but, you know, we don't need a Savior. We're kind of, you know, fairly good people. But Mary, she wasn't perfect. The Bible's quite clear that no one is perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. And Mary knew she needed a Savior. If Mary needed a Savior, boy, I need a Savior. We need a Savior. But David, you ask, well, what does this Savior do? What does Jesus save us from? Well, this Bible and the Gospel of Luke particularly, as it picks up this big theme of salvation, it will help you. And I'd encourage you, read and get a copy of Luke's Gospel and have a read through it. And just be thinking, what is it that God saves us from? And I've just recently again started reading Luke's Gospel and found it very helpful. But there are lots of other books as well that you can read that kind of help unpack it for you. Some of them are big. But I don't know about you, I sometimes find small books are quite handy. And this little booklet called Why Christmas, I've got about 100 copies. It's not enough for everyone here tonight, but I hope it's enough for those who would like to take one. I've got 100 copies of this little booklet, and it helps unpack what it means for Jesus to be the Savior, our Savior. Helps explain how, as Savior, he frees us from things. That's what a Savior does. He comes and sets people free, brings release. What is it that Jesus saves us from? Well, let me just list three of them. He saves us from fear. He saves us from addictions. He saves us from guilt. Guilt, addictions, fear. Jesus comes and he breaks in and he saves people. Maybe you're sitting there and you think, well, I can see those are quite big problems in our world, but sitting here tonight, I'm not sure really that... I wouldn't necessarily say those things are my thing. And maybe we try and put on this veneer, don't we? Yeah, no, that's not me. I'm, Not fear, not guilt, not addictions. But when you start getting honest with people, even wonderful people, people who you admire and you think they're doing great things. I remember when I was at university and I had the privilege of going to Cambridge with some wonderful people. And there in Cambridge, I had a conversation late one night with a friend. And as we got talking late into the night, my friend, he said, as we were talking about what motivates people. And I said, well, what motivates you? And quick as a flash, he said this. He said, fear and guilt. I was taken aback that he would be that honest. He was a great student, a great sportsman, and yet fear and guilt were two of his biggest motivators in life. And I thought, wow, actually, yeah, how often are we afraid people will discover who we truly are? How often are we aware of the guilt, the things that we haven't done that even we wanted to do, let alone what others and what God wanted us to do? But Jesus comes to save us from those things. And not just to save us from those things, but to save us for wonderful things. He saves us for this chance to know him and celebrate him and have that kind of spirit rejoicing in him. He saves us and frees us so that we can love others as he wanted us to. He saves us so that we can change. So that we can know there's hope as we go into 2011. This is the wonder of God's salvation. And you know, Mary personalized it. If we go back to that first verse that Mary had and says in her song, where she says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Okay, here's a little thing. Can anyone count how many personal, I think they're pronouns, but I did engineering, not English. So I think, is that right? How many personal things are there in there? We got children. Can you help me? One. Can you spot any more? Two. My soul, my spirit, and my Savior. She's personalized it. Is this just for Mary? No. It's for any of us. If your soul wants to start singing and rejoicing, then you need to find that he is your Savior. As I've discovered that God is my Savior, my heart has started to rejoicing. As I realize that Jesus came and was born in a manger and lived a perfect life without fear, without guilt, without any addictions. As he went purposefully to the cross, the place where he died for me, for Mary, for each one of those you saw on the stage, for all of us, so that we could be saved, so that we could be freed, so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. As he did that, I can be set free. And that is the most wonderful thing to know at Christmas. And though I think about it often and talk about it often, it never ceases to amaze me and blow me away and just put a smile on my face and, more important than that, in my heart. So do you know him as your Savior tonight? So I was thinking about this. I was struck with all the snow that there's probably a fair few people who are going to get stuck in it, unfortunately. In fact, my wife and I and our youngest daughter almost got stuck in the snow about 2 weeks ago when we were in that bad M25 traffic jam, and it just started snowing in the south, and we just thought, this is not good. But a few cars were broken down and stuck, and we thought, we don't want to spend the night in the car. But you know, if you were stuck in the snow, I guess most of us would know that there are people you could ring who could rescue you. Who could might come and help you. You know, you could get on the phone and you could ring, I don't know, the RAC. We've got someone in the church who's part of the RAC, or the AA, or the Green Flag. And, you know, they might come and try and get you out and help you and rescue you. Or you could contact the police or something. But, you know, with all those folks, you need to, first of all, have done two things. You needed to have admit you needed help. And you needed to have asked for it. Otherwise, you might have known that there was a rescue or someone who could do that for you, but they wouldn't have been your rescue unless you'd asked. And so I want to end tonight with a prayer. I simply call it the AA prayer, a bit like the AA rescue team. And it just has really got two A's in it. It's admitting that we need help, and it's asking for rescue. And here it is on the screen. I'm just going to pray it in a moment. It says this: Jesus, I admit I need help. Forgive me. Free me from my guilt, my addictions, and my fears. I want to know you, to love you and others, to change. I ask for your help. Be my Savior. Amen. So just as we prepare to hear the choir again, I'd love it if we could just bow our heads and just in this moment of quiet, just think, do you want Jesus to be your Savior today, tonight? And if you do, as I pray this again, just echo it with me in your heart. It's just between you and God. And let your soul awaken, start singing even to Him. Pray this with me in your heart. Jesus, I admit I need help. Forgive me. Free me from my guilt, my addictions, my fears. I want to know you, to love you and others, to change. I ask for your help. Be my Savior. Amen.